Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. And as I said earlier in the service, we'll be comparing Matthew and Mark's account of the resurrection as we seek to understand Matthew's inspired account and his message. So let us turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. And I'll be reading the verses 1 through 20, the entire chapter. This is the Word of God. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead, and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Thus the reading of God's word this morning. As you know in the scriptures, God has given us four different resurrection accounts in four different gospels in the Bible. And just because one resurrection account is different from another doesn't mean that one story is right and the other is wrong. But God has blessed us with four different gospels and four different inspired accounts because each account is different in its ending and its message. Sometimes during Easter time, these specific messages of the specific gospel writers becomes lost as all the resurrection accounts become mixed into one. But when that happens, we miss the different theological message that the inspired writer of Mark, or perhaps Matthew in this situation, has for God's people to know and to understand. Last year, on Resurrection Morning, I preached to you the Gospel according to Mark, as Mark writes his account in Mark 16. You may have noticed this morning that the resurrection account in Mark is very different than the one in Matthew. There are similarities, but there are also great differences. Some of our early church fathers questioned Mark's account, and you can see that at the end of the account after verse 8, where there is a text note in many of your Bibles that says, The earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, verses 9 to 20. What that means is that some of the most earliest reliable manuscripts that we have on the Gospel of Mark do not have verses 9 through 20 of this Gospel of chapter 16. If you look at the style of writing, you would find that not only are the earliest manuscripts not recording these verses, but these verses also have a different Greek vocabulary that is being used and a different style of Greek of writing. Many people believe that these verses were added by the church later. Why? Because some scribes thought that the Gospel of Mark needed to be more like Matthew or more like Luke. They looked at verse 8 and they said, "How can a gospel writer end the account this way? Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." "What kind of an ending is that?" said some in the early church. "That's not consistent with the other endings to the Gospels." And so they included an ending which would match some of the other Gospels on their own. Nevertheless, Mark's ending in verse 8 of chapter 16 is purposeful because it is consistent with his message. You must remember that the Gospel writer of Mark is writing to a group of people that were very much afraid. They are Christians in Rome that are fearful of living out their faith or letting others know that they know about Christ and his resurrection, because if others know, who knows what may happen to us. And so all through Mark's gospel, you read stories of people who are wondering who Jesus is. Who is this who calms the wind and the waves? Who is this who can do such miracles? Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" Throughout the last couple of sermons that we've had here at Sovereign Grace, the last couple of weeks, we have spoken of the blindness of the disciples and those who were following Jesus because they did not understand what he came to do. They thought he came to conquer of the world. They thought he came as the Jewish Messiah to once again rule from Jerusalem and lead the Jewish armies into battle. But Jesus came to die on the cross. Jesus came to suffer, he told his disciples. He came because he was going to be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests and the rulers. He came to earth because God had ordained that he would be betrayed, condemned to death, and put on the cross, but 3 days later would rise again. No one understood this aspect of the resurrection. As Jesus was arrested and carried away, they recognized that something was going to happen to him. As they saw him suffering on the cross, they realized that he was suffering and the end was near. But no one imagined that he would rise from the grave, even though he had told them. And so when we come to Mark's ending in Mark 16, we find the women coming to the tomb. And as they come to this tomb, they finally understand, or they finally see what this message of Christ is all about. For they come to the tomb and it's empty. They come to the tomb and they see an angel in a white robe sitting on its right side and saying to them that Jesus has risen. But what do they do? Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. If you're like one of the early church fathers, you're saying to themselves, yourself, what is the matter with these women? All along in this gospel story, we have been reading about Christ and we have been seeing how blind people are in their failure to understand him. And now finally, at the end of the story, they witness the resurrection, the empty tomb. An angel comes and tells them that Jesus has risen from the dead. and they walk away. What is the matter with them? The reader says. Don't they know better? Have they missed the point? Don't they dare go out and tell others all about Christ and His resurrection and what He has done? And that is Mark's message. Mark is saying to the reader with this particular ending in verse 8, don't be like these women. If you're the reader and you know this story and you know about Christ's resurrection, are you going to walk away? Are you going to be scared to tell anyone? Are you going to say nothing to anyone as these women did? Or are you going to proclaim this message? That is what Mark is saying to his readers in Rome who are afraid to witness for Jesus. That is what Mark is saying to you this morning in his gospel conclusion. But as you come to the Gospel of Matthew, you notice some similarities in Matthew's account and some significant differences in Matthew's account. First of all, some similarities. In verse 1, you will see that both Mary Magdalene and Mary went to the tomb. We also see that in verse 1 of Mark 16. We also see in verse 3 that as they come to the tomb, they meet somebody who is dressed in white, an angel from heaven. Same thing we're told in Mark 16. We also notice that as the angel speaks to the women in verses 5 through 7, the angel said almost exactly the same words in Mark's account as in Matthew's. In Matthew we read, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, who is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Those verses, those words of the angel are almost exactly the same words of the angel that we find in Mark 16. But you will also notice this morning that both Matthew and Mark are also very different. In verse 2 of Matthew's gospel, we read there is a violent earthquake. No record of that in Mark. In verse 4, we read that the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. No mention of that in Mark. In verses 8 through 10, we read that the women were afraid, but then Jesus actually appears to them. Jesus appears to them and calms their fears. In verse 9, we read that Jesus suddenly met them and said, greetings. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So each account is very similar. Each account is also very different. But the most significant difference that we find between Matthew's account and Mark's is the very end. For the Gospel of Matthew ends with two reports. One report is truth. The other report is false. Clearly, Mark's message is centered around his audience that he is writing to as he concludes his gospel account, inspired by God. But Matthew's message is also centered around his audience, his intended readers, as he is inspired by God. Matthew's gospel was written to Jews who did not want to believe that the resurrection ever happened. Mark's gospel is written to Christians in Rome who are fearful to testify for their faith. As Matthew writes to his Jewish audience, he also concludes in a way to challenge them in their belief and in their faith. And in each aspect that Matthew includes in the first 10 verses of his account, he has incorporated the Jewish characteristic of understanding. The first thing that is different that we mentioned is the earthquake. No other gospel writer records that there was a violent earthquake at the resurrection of our Lord. An earthquake is a cosmic event. An earthquake is an event that takes place that everyone who knows and has experienced it clearly understands that it was not of man, but it was of God. And the Jewish audience very clearly knows that in the Old Testament, and even in Jesus' words, he describes an earthquake as part of the future of the end times. In other words, not only does the earthquake point out that something has happened or is happening that only God could do, it also points to the fact that the event that is happening is significant because it points to the end times. What was that event? That event for Matthew and for all the other gospel writers is the resurrection of our Lord. Only God could resurrect a man from a grave, just as only God could cause an earthquake. Only God will bring about the end of the world, as earthquakes will take place, signifying that the end is near. Only God will bring our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven and bring about a resurrection of the dead. His resurrection in Matthew 28 is the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end times, Matthew's message is telling us. It is the beginning which was 2,000 years ago, which continues on till this very day. Not only do we see that there is an earthquake signifying to the Jewish audience and to you that God has done something, but we also notice a hint of irony in Matthew's gospel, specifically concerning the guards in verse 4. We read that the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. This is exactly what the chief priests were trying to show would happen to Jesus. They sent the guards to the tomb, we're told at the end of Matthew 27, to guard the tomb so that no lies could be told. They went to Pilate, we're told in verse 62, and they said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver," meaning Jesus, "said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate said. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. But even the guards of Rome and Pilate himself could not stop Christ's resurrection from the grave. And as he came out of the grave, it is not our Lord who is dead. But we read in verse 4 that the guards have shook and they have become like dead men. In verse 8 we read that the women were afraid, just as Mark describes. But something changes their fear. It is our Lord himself. Our Lord who meets them. Our Lord who comes to them and said, "Greetings." And what did they do upon seeing their Lord? They clasped his feet. They worshiped him. And Jesus told them not to be afraid, but go tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me. He does not tell them to go to Jerusalem. He does not tell them to go to the temple. tells them to go to Galilee, where you will find Jew and Gentile that will hear of this resurrection and will now believe. Well, now that our Lord has risen, now that Matthew has targeted his Jewish listeners, we have Matthew's conclusion, which is much different than Mark's. The one report is false. The second report is truth. The first report is the guards. While the women were on their way, verse 11 tells us, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders, they had devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep." For a Roman soldier to fall asleep on duty, the penalty was death. These soldiers were charged with guarding this tomb and sealing it as secure as they could possibly know how. Upon his resurrection, they became like dead men. And now they are bribed. And the bribers who have spread this false lie tell them in verse 14 that if this report that you fell asleep gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and they did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews till this very day. Earlier, the chief priests, they said to Pilate in verse 62 of chapter 27, verse 63, they described Jesus as the deceiver. The deceiver who said, "After 3 days I will rise again." But Jesus is not the deceiver. It is the Jewish leadership, the Jewish religious leadership, who are the deceivers. Once Jesus has risen, they have spread a lie. Once Jesus has risen, they have paid off the guards and the governor to spread their lie and to circulate this story that this resurrection is not true. It did not happen. But following the guards' false report, we have the true report, our Lord's great commission. In verse 16, we read that the 11 disciples went to Galilee. They went to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you until the end of the age." Matthew's gospel ends with two reports. One report has been spread around by false bribes, by manipulation and deception. One report, though they were not able to stop the power of God at Christ's resurrection, continues to be spread till this very day. I have never seen a resurrection from the dead. If I saw it, or if I saw Jesus, or if I saw a miracle, then I'll believe it. But I didn't see it, and I'm going to believe the lie. But the second report, as Matthew's gospel ends, is the report of truth. It is the report that even the disciples have witnessed this resurrection. Our Lord's disciples, the foundation of his church, who would go from Jerusalem and spread this message as Jesus commands him in this commission all throughout the world. All authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I am with you always till the end of the age. This second report is the report of truth. For Jesus' disciples are witnesses of the resurrection. They are witnesses that he does live, that there is a resurrection of the dead. It is a report for those who believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross to forgive the sins of his people. And it is by their faith in him that his resurrection is true, that they have salvation. For someday in the future, the earth will rumble. Someday in the future, on that day, he will return with an appearance like lightning, like as white as snow. There will be some who will be resurrected, but will continue to be like dead men. You too will be resurrected. Which message do you believe? The guard's report, which is false, which is built on deception and bribes? Or our Lord and his disciples' report, a report of truth, a report that the resurrection is real, a report of salvation, which is for now and forevermore? Mark's gospel ends with a challenge to the reader. Don't be afraid of believing in Jesus. Don't be afraid to tell it to others, for he has risen and this story is yours. Matthew's gospel ends with a challenge. There are two reports. Which one will you believe? One report brings life. The other brings death. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the gospel writer of Matthew, who writes to us this account of the resurrection. We are confronted with his message as you inspired him to write it. For we hear this message of our Lord's resurrection, but we know there are many around us who do not believe it and who doubt. Lord, we pray that as your word has revealed it to us, that your spirit would work in our hearts, that you would enable us to embrace the truth of our Lord's death and resurrection and the forgiveness of sins, that you would enable us as your people to believe these things and to live these things and to tell others about these things. For we know that a day is coming where this resurrection of our Savior will be fulfilled in a much more glorified and magnificent event. For he will return himself, our resurrected Lord. The graves will be open, the earth and the mountains will shake, and we will stand before him in all his glory, bright as lightning. Lord, we pray that we would not stand before him and be dead men as the soldiers, but that we, O God, would stand before our Lord, knowing him all of our life, knowing that he is with us now, knowing we will be before him then and forevermore. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing together concerning